Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trumbly Birchall, and we here in the podcast studio have internet celebrity Beck Petraeus.
Yes, I am the internet celebrity Beck Petraeus.
Welcome back.
Now, we never plan anything for the podcast, right? But for weeks now, Al's been telling me we're going to get Beck on and I'm going to call her an internet celebrity. That's literally the only thing that has ever been planned for this show.
I think it's the only reason I'm on here, because he told me to. He was like, Beck, I'm going to get you on. I'm going to call you an internet celebrity. I was like, Al, why are you doing that? I mean nothing on the internet. No one knows who I am.
It's the most planning I've ever done for anything in my life. And I felt like this is how planning works. You come up with the idea, right? And then you tell two people.
Yes.
And then you do it twice. And then that's your plan. So
I'm pretty sure that's how the Beatles started. Right.
Yeah. So they said, we're going to be the greatest band that's ever in the world.
What do you think, George? What do you think, Paul?
Well, Paul, I'm going to tell you that we're the greatest band ever, and we're going to tell people that. And so, I'm going to tell them that we're bigger than Jesus. Yeah, you should do that.
Now you're getting it.
That's it. Okay, then.
Hold up. Are they like early proponents of The Secret?
Love. Yeah, exactly. So
I didn't
the Beatles.
Know this.
The
so
Beatles.
They were like, we're going to be the best band, and then they made like a scrapbook, I guess, and that's how they did it.
Well, I mean, if by scrapbook you mean hugely successful career, Beck.
Yeah,
and that is what I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
Or the cover of the Sgt. Pepper's album, which would have been
like scrapbooking.
Yeah, it was very much an image in which they put themselves amongst the greats, which is a little bit cocky, I gotta say. I mean, it was lucky that they were great.
Yes.
No, they weren't great before they put themselves in there, made themselves great.
Well, we don't know when. Yeah, exactly. We don't know when they made that cover.
We don't know when they made that album. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
We're not sure when they made that, or like nobody's really looked into it.
When will somebody write the history of the Beatles?
Come on.
Get on it.
We're the World War II of music.
Everybody agrees. Nobody's interested in looking into them or where they came from. Okay, yeah. Their origins are not of interest to us. But I'm saying, just humbly putting it out there, that maybe there might be, I don't know, a pamphlet in it or something, you know? And I think people could be interested to read that.
At least a Tumblr.
A Tumblr about the Beatles, who are they, what do they look like, you know? And then people will be like, you know what? I've really, really passionately appreciate their music, but it's never occurred to me to ask myself what they look like. I'm going to check out this Tumblr. And that is how things get made. Now I've told you two guys about it. I'm going to make that.
Well, that's the way planning works, as we pre-established. Yes.
Luckily, we told an internet celebrity, so we're going to be able to use their fan base.
Yes.
To spread this around.
I have got so much influence.
That's good. Social media influencer.
That's me.
Oh, it hurts.
No, influenza. Beck is always sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Always.
And always in front of a computer.
Yeah.
Somehow those two are connected.
I'm the internet Hulk.
Yeah.
I'm Hulk. Always sick.
Is the Hulk always sick?
No, in a way. I mean, anger is a sickness.
I suppose.
He's green, the traditional color of sickness.
That's true. And jealousy.
Mm.
He's sick with jealousy. That could be it.
Yes. I'm sniffly. You wouldn't like me when I'm sniffly.
Look, I've written down the idea that Sgt. Pepper's the album cover was a vision board that they created early on, where they put themselves amongst the greats.
It was quite a vision board, because they prophesied the existence of Jimi Hendrix. That's just quite good.
Absolutely. Well, he was he would have been alive at the time, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess so. It's not that impressive.
Yeah.
No.
Predicting the existence of Jimi Hendrix when he still when he does exist.
Yeah.
If he's alive at the time.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Like, you know, they and then they predicted a lot of people that had happened already before in the past.
Yeah.
That was unbelievably.
Is that how predictions work?
Well, that's what makes them all the more impressive.
Mm.
Okay.
But yeah,
in a way, they were predictions.
Yep.
In a way.
Yeah.
If you say it that way, and you say that they were.
He was dictating things that had already happened. Predictions.
That is what that means.
Yeah.
Correct. But, Alistair, but I also think that there's something in the idea of somebody not... This universe we created where no one's looked into the history of the Beatles.
Of the Beatles, right? Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know, that there might be something in it.
Sure. Yeah. So
now I prefer the version of the world where for some reason nobody's interested in it, right? And then rather than the version of the world where it's just one person who thinks that nobody's looked into it. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
But I think my preferred world is, you know, as is so often the case, the harder one to create. You know, we can imagine a better world.
Yeah.
But how do we get there?
Well, it's crazy because at the moment it's easy to imagine that somebody you know, people would look into it because so many people love it.
Yes.
Right? But but how do you get this guy to try to convince people that it's good when not very many people like it?
Well, I think everybody likes it, but nobody's paid any attention to
it. It's always existed. Like, you know, the sky.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, it's been there. There's always been the Beatles. There's never been a moment there hasn't been. So why would people be interested?
Maybe it's like science, like the Big Bang. It's like people are, you know, we take this for granted, but people are now speculating that there might have been a time before the Beatles existed, and then there might have been a moment at which they came into being.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I've heard that there are some theories that there's actually multi-Beatles.
Oh, wow.
And that they think that in different places there may have been other Beatles, you know, obviously that we can't see that are outside of our perception and things like
maybe
that.
Maybe playing at a frequency that's higher than our ears can pick up.
Yeah, because it seems unlikely that the Beatles would come into existence, but when
once you
realize
that they did...
But
it's even more unlikely.
But is the Beatles like one of those things, you know, when you're sitting in bed at night and you've got nothing else in your mind and you're like, oh no, how does life work? Where am I going? Where do we die? The Beatles. Like, is that where it fits in? So people don't want to think about it because it's
like
so
contemplating
ingrained.
The infinite.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard for our heads to imagine a world in which the Beatles don't
and it's
exist.
Unpleasant.
This is a bit of a divergence, but you know how we're always like listening to the sky to try and get radio signals from aliens.
Right? Yes.
What if we tap into that, right? We actually find it and we actually can watch their television or listen to their radio or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all really, really bad.
Even so somehow we do manage to get to convert it into English.
Yeah, and and it's very, very poor, like production quality, like their storytelling is like really clumsy.
Mm.
But what if that's what the aliens, what if that's their, you know, Breaking Bad, what if that's their high quality drama?
Yeah, well, they think they're going
they
through a golden
great.
Age of television.
Yes. But that's a good way to go. We've got so much of that shit to give them as like an offering and go like, oh, here's all the nanny, you know? Like
That would be really big. Like in terms of a new streaming market, I guess it would be like when Australia got access to Netflix, right? And that has really precipitated the death of our local content production market.
Definitely a lot of precipitation.
Yeah, but then, if we start broadcasting and selling streaming services to alien worlds because we've got such good television, are they going to implement quotas so that we have to make a certain amount of alien content in order to get a broadcast license?
I think it's not just that. It's the fact that a lot of people talk about aliens invading or us invading another planet, us trying to conquer them.
Yes.
What if we don't need to conquer them?
Right.
What if we just drip feed them bad sitcoms until they sort of become, I guess, sort of Wally, those Wally humans?
Okay.
So, like, we try to defeat another alien race just by too many Home Improvement episodes.
Well, like, you know, in World of the, War of the Worlds, right, it was the simple bacteria already living in our atmosphere that the aliens weren't able to cope with. They had these huge, you know, machines and stuff, but they died from the common
cold.
And
they cold, had that great, right? That great music that went along with them.
They, and
dun, I don't know.
Dun, 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 dun,
that music.
That's it.
That's great. Dun, 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 dun,
and then, but what if they're also, like, not able to resist the temptations of our pop culture, so they just spend all their time on the couch and become really, really fat and lazy.
And then,
they die from heart disease.
Their whole world becomes a huge welfare state. You know, and that, you know, but they're just so filled with compassion.
Yes.
Which is why their stories don't need to be that interesting, because they feel so much emotion based off of the simplest, like, you know, the simplest viewings of another person's experience.
They're empaths, so they're able to, like, instantly connect. And obviously, like, they love their stories, their soaps, right? They're totally into that stuff.
And so, that's why when we show them something that is ours, which is not even that good, but it's just so good compared to, you know, they start really relating to you know, Tim Allen's wife, you know, and her plight, and they become couch potatoes.
Yeah,
I have been wondering for a while who there's all this Snapchat stuff, right, where you can click and, like, look at people's lives from all over the world, and a lot of it is like, we're at a festival. I think this is for them. I haven't known who the audience of this is for.
Yeah.
I think it's for these things.
Of course.
So let's not waste all our beautiful on these people. Let's give them all the Snapchats. I reckon maybe that's where the Snapchats go.
Wait, especially
your boring ones.
Well, where does all the box sets of Home Improvement go? I don't understand. We have to leave them here with us.
No, I think we can use them later as ammo for some sort of gun.
Fire them.
They're
into
quite
space.
Pointy.
Oh yeah. You could imagine future ninjas using sort of discarded DVDs as shurikens.
Sharpen the edge. I think that's very good. I think it's cultural war of the worlds. Culture war of the worlds.
That's very good.
Is what we're going to maybe call it. And then there's still a further iteration of this that may be nothing, Goss, but like, you know how we're always complaining about the Americanization, or maybe Beck, you're too young to know about this, but we complain about
and maybe too famous.
Yeah, too famous, too much influence.
The Americanization of Australian culture, right? I don't know if you've heard of this, Beck. People complain that we've got too much American stuff and that we.
I've never heard of this before.
Stop talking down to Beck.
But once we, like, once we...
We made The Simpsons,
in,
yeah?
Once we tap
the
into...
Simpsons is our thing.
No, Beck, no, you're so naive.
Did we make
It started with that Australian episode, and then The Simpsons went to America,
yeah,
and then the rest of it's taken place
I
over
think
there.
That's the way that works.
It's like Mythbusters.
It was originally a fish-out-of-water kind of story, right? But then we thought, what if we put these fish in water? And then that ran for 25 seasons so far.
Give them three eyes. Off they go.
We put them in water and they really thrive.
To be honest, it was way better. They seemed out of place.
Well, the fish out of water, we were like...
fish out of water scenario.
We had a look at that. We were like, well, they'll be dead in half an hour.
Yeah.
Well,
especially with
better
all those Australians
them
chasing them. It was very hard to find another place to go with the rest of the story after they had chased them out of Australia and everybody in the country hated them. It was a So they kind of just plopped them into some liquid.
But like, once we tap into the alien radio signals and we start saying this is the way it goes, we get their culture and their TV. There will be like people complaining about like the alienification of Earth culture and how like we're wearing our, you know, our baseball caps upside down or whatever like they do. On the planet Zimbon.
Zimbon. I would like if there was a, if this planet, just this is just a special detail that doesn't need to be, you know, it's not crucial, but if the only way that you can say it is by three people barbershop quartet style, they go Zimbon, 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 Zimbon. Thank you, guys. That was perfect.
Real sorry, mate.
Yeah, it's okay.
I forgot what barbershop quartet mate, was. I thought it I was hate just to quiet. Be
I just got spot. Out my. I just brought out my razor and whatever the hand scissors things is. Hand
well,
scissors.
What you're referring to there is, of course, the choir shop barbers.
Yes.
There's 160 close harmony singers who descend into local barbershops and all work together to cut somebody's hair. It was a cultural phenomenon popular in the early 70s. It's sort of a response to a lot of the...
Was that like, sort of like, you know, when violins come by your table while you're eating food? Was it the same sort of thing where you got to just act like it's fine and just... You just keep you like, oh, thank you.
That's what they do with all their with all their laid off chefs. They go, look, you're terrible at cooking.
But what you could do is you could screw two of those knives together to make a scissors.
Well, yeah, but whoa, a chef who's like also a barber. You know, like have you ever seen those coffee shops that are also have like you know hairdressers in them? And you go, I don't want to be hair, eating food I don't want, where the people are cutting
so much
leaves.
Hair. Like it would be a miracle if you didn't find a hair in your food, right?
It's already a miracle.
That's true. I never wore a hairnet. None of the chefs, when I was working in a kitchen, no one wore a hairnet.
No. Well, or a harness.
That's why.
And we were all shedding constantly from stress. He worked a lot.
He worked exclusively with Labradors.
Yeah. Is there good stuff in hair to eat?
Oil? I've definitely tried, and I don't think I've got much out of it.
You've tried?
Yeah, I've eaten hair.
Oh, we've all sat around and ate of hair or two. I feel like also barbers mixed with chefs, we just made Sweeney Todd in that situation. They did eat hair, I guess. Really? And they also ate other things, like
man.
Everything. Yeah, like noses and eyeballs.
Oh, I should watch that.
But
is that a?
Well, no, you can't. It's Johnny Depp, and he's. Ugh.
Oh, hey there! I'm still doing Hunter S. Thompson. There, fucking 30 years later, and.
Well, yes, and also the domestic stuff.
Yeah, he's not. He's not good now.
Oh yeah, good. Yeah. There's that too.
Fresh reports.
And you know, hello, and oh, yeah, I'm still Hunter S. Thompson. I'm still. Making his name
even
worse.
Get out of this podcast.
Okay.
Get out of this podcast.
Anyway, hey, when's the last time? An actor cooked a meal for you.
No!
Beck, but you mentioned the thing about the people who come up to your table and play music while you're eating, right?
Yes.
What about people who come up to your table and start cutting your hair, right?
Haircut, or it's like the lady with the roses, who's like, you know, roses for the lady, but it's other services like that.
Yeah.
So she goes, haircut for the lady, and you're like, on a date, you go... Oh fuck! I'm gonna
now.
I've got to
pay for a haircut.
I'm gonna look like an asshole if I don't buy my date a haircut.
But I think what are those bands that do that?
Mariachi.
Mariachi bands, right? Like, see, the thing is, they come up and they just start playing, right? So it'd be worse if they came up and they just started snipping away, and then once they've started, like, you're like, oh well, I got to get them to even it up.
Yeah.
Would it be worse? I think I'm for this. I think it's great. I hate the worst part about getting a haircut is deciding to get a haircut and needing to go to the place.
Yeah.
Having a haircut thrust upon you, I can get on board with this.
Mm.
Like, surprise. We've dealt with this situation for you. Might not be the best outcome, but you know, it's been done.
They start at the back and you don't realise they're even there until they get to the fringe. They work their way around.
Yeah.
If they're good. And especially if the music that's playing in the restaurant is very snippy. Like a lot of maracas and washboards.
If they just play that bit that you were singing from the, was it the Chariots of Fire?
Yeah, but snip, 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 like that.
But then they just loop that bit.
Yeah.
Are there foods that you can eat that make you sound like you're making scissor noises?
Oh, let's see. Eating corn chips can at least block out a lot of stuff.
All nachos.
I guess it makes sense for the mariachi hairdressers to be there.
Oh, especially if there's somebody in your ear with a trumpet while the other person's cutting your hair.
Yeah. That'll do it. That'll cover it. It's all mariachi playing the Chariots of Fire theme on trumpets. While other mariachi...
snip, snip, snip. It just seems in place. It's a hairdresser who's also a percussionist. You know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it a one-man band? If it's a one-man band sort of person...
Well, then they've got to be cutting your hair with their knees or something, don't they?
Oh, that'd be an interesting haircut. That feels like, you know, one of those ones that might get on YouTube and it'll be like, ooh, look at this amazing haircut. You get it with your knees. Like, I think that's a selling point too. Like, this is all just a good business.
I could imagine somebody doing that maybe with the clippers, using their knees to sort of run the clippers up your head.
What about, if you had a blade on each thigh?
Oh, yeah.
The inside
I'm
of each
listening.
Thigh, and then the legs essentially become a scissor.
Well, what you do, that's good. Mm. That's really good. But what you do is you have a bunch of people standing with blades on the inside of their thighs. And then somebody who wants a haircut crawls between their legs. Sort of, it's kind of like, it's like the, like a car wash version, you know, like an automatic car wash version, but for a haircut.
Yes.
But it still employs people.
Many people.
Yeah. And you just run your
and
head
doctors.
Along the sides of the of their legs.
Of their thigh. You run your hair against their inner thigh as you crawl between their legs where the blades are.
Where the blades are.
Where the blades are.
And so so here's what it is. It uses both automation.
Yes.
Right?
How?
But also.
How does it use automation?
In that nobody is doing anything.
I don't think you know what automation is, Alison.
No, but look. Okay, so there's
what
one.
What if it's a treadmill?
Okay,
it's a treadmill and you put the
person
on the
treadmill.
Do you
regard, rotting fruit as automation?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nature. Oh, the wonders of technology.
Yeah, so, okay. So the only thing that, instead of person crawling between the legs, is that their hands are tied to some rope like that, and then
they're being dragged.
Yeah, and so they're being dragged
like a carcass.
Yeah, it's then that rope is attached to a self-driving car, and then it pulls them between the legs of the people that are standing there. Like that, and then it cuts their hair as it goes through. It's basically just, you know.
Let's call Elon Musk. I reckon you'll have him at self-driving car. You know, because he's always looking for new applications of his technology.
Exactly.
You tell him, look, I've got something for you, Elon. Obviously, I think he might be sensitive around hair-cutting topics, but other than that.
Why do you think he'd be sensitive?
Because apparently he's got hair plugs. Apparently he was balding a lot about 15 years ago.
But
and now he's
he
got
would
a,
be interested
he's
in
got
this.
A thick head of hair.
Yeah, well, that's
because he needs to maintain those hair that he has now obtained, and I think you just go, "I got two words for you, mate: knife knees," and then it's perfect. Okay,
but see,
God, I got it.
I think when you say you've got two words for someone, they need to be words that are sort of self-explanatory in some way. They kind of stand alone, not two words that then require several thousand pages of text.
Elon would
to
love
explain.
Some mystery. No, Elon would understand immediately. He's a smart man. He'd go knife knees.
He's already got
automated hair cutting.
I'll get the self-driving vehicle and the rope.
I think the only thing that would have to be explained after you say knife knees is that you would have to explain that this isn't a blade that has knees. This is knees that have blades.
But hold on.
And then he'd go, right, I'm on.
I like the idea.
That would be his only question.
So would a knife knee still have the sharp bits and then like a hinge?
That's a terrible idea. A blade with a hinge in the middle
just flop around. It's perfect.
It bends back towards you.
I think knives are too easy these days.
Yeah.
Kids have got it too easy. They buy their knives, they go stabbing. What if they were harder to use and potentially could hurt you a lot?
But there have to be consequences.
Yes.
What about you've got a long broadsword, right?
Long and broad.
Long and broad. No, it's a thin sword. Sorry.
Okay.
I mean, a long, thin sword. Possibly a man is wielding it, possibly a woman.
Wow.
Right?
That's good you've
Look at her go.
Okay, now. And the woman has agency. Just letting you know. Okay.
The man doesn't?
No.
Okay.
We're very equal.
He's enslaved to the...
He's enslaved to the, to the blade. He's just a
slave. Oh, you know me, mate. I'm a bloody slave to the blade.
Okay? Now, but this sword has a knee in it, right? Okay, so it's a long sword, but you take the knee and you bend it all the way back.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So like if you were, let's say if it was a leg, you'd be stretching out the calf, not the calves, the thighs.
Quads.
The quads, okay? Like that. Folds all the way back, all the way back. You got yourself a short double-edged sword now. I know initially you were imagining the sword was double-edged, yeah. But I couldn't say single-edged because then you were going to see where I was okay. going. All right? So now it's a sword that sometimes if you want, just a single-edged sword, but it's long, so you got range. Let's say you're fighting, yeah. you're having a sword battle with a basketballer.
Right.
Right? Gives you that extra range.
Yeah.
Like that. Come back, you're fighting a jockey.
Yes.
You hate sports people. Right.
I've always been in a situation where I'm like, this sword, it's got too many edges.
Exactly.
Get rid of one of them.
Here's a great idea. Triple-edged sword. You know that flat bit in between the two edges?
That could be sharp.
That could be sharp. Couldn't we make it really thin? Why is it so broad? Hey?
What if it was all edge?
Oh, but that's crazy. Why not? It's like it's somewhere between a sword and that wire that mobsters use.
Like a rotting wire.
Well, I guess in a way a lightsaber was that, wasn't it? It was like it was all edge.
Yeah, but it's not sharp. It's burny. What about a piano wire? So it's like just a stiff piano wire at the end of a big hilt. Is it a hilt? Is that what it's called?
The hilt.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Like that, and it's just got it's the thinnest of wires, but rigid, so rigid. It's like a forget it.
I think we could do this. I think we could do this with carbon nanotubes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I've been looking for an application for my carbon nanotube technology.
This is the first time I've been worried being on a podcast and being like, oh no, a master criminal is going to listen to this and go, oh, these are great
Absolutely.
Ideas. You're giving them to the criminals, guys.
Especially a criminal that's going to go back in time to the medieval times. It'll give them a real advantage.
What?
Yeah, because I think that will also, once you get to that point, because it'll be like the thinnest of skewers as well. So and it'll go right through chainmail. Like if you're using it to thrust like a thumbtack, like that, it'll go right through people because all that force will be.
Tiny
concentrated
point.
To a tiny point.
Here's my problem with this whole idea. You're like, oh, I'm obviously going to stab people with my sword. Mm-hmm. What about just a nice shish kebab? Like a real
Absolutely.
Long shish kebab. Because the problem with shish kebabs is... Getting it through the chicken.
Absolutely.
You got to stab it, stab. Getting it through mostly the capsicum, like a hard capsicum.
You know what I realized, guys? We may have just invented the tandoori chicken stick.
See, this is very often the way things go. Mm. Technology that is developed for the military then finds its way into our day-to-day lives. So soon we will be using carbon nanotubes swords to shish kebab our tandoori chicken stick.
But
the hard part would be when you travel back in time as a master criminal to the Middle Ages and you say, okay, bring me your carbon nanotubes. They won't have any.
I don't know. I think you're assuming a lot. The past, you know, good old days. There's something in the good old days. Surely in the good old days they had carbon nanotubes.
What about the good old days, Andy?
Well, you know, the Buddhists actually invented carbon nanotubes really ages ago.
You know what I just thought of? I mean, this is still on the same topic, but you know, like graphene. You know, is it graphene that you get from like just putting a sticky tape onto
graphite?
Is that
you get a really thin layer?
Thin layer, and it's like an atom thick.
Yep.
Imagine that as a sword. Because it's strong, right? Apparently.
Yeah, but only in one direction. I think you'd find it was floppy in the other direction.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Like the sword in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Was there a floppy sword?
I think that was the thing, is that it was a floppy sword, but if you knew how to wield it...
It became rigid?
Well, no, but like...
What?
If you could wield the floppy sword, then you could have this really thin sword that would just have unbelievable power.
Oh.
I think it was. Look, I haven't watched all of it. I had downloaded it about 20 years ago.
Were you going to sleep a little bit as you were watching it? I have watched it, and I don't remember being a floppy sword.
No, well, there's definitely a movie that was made in Asia.
Yes.
That involved people fighting with swords, and one of the swords was floppy.
Because Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon would be quite a misleading title. Like, Floppy Sword, The Adventures of Floppy Sword would be, I'd be like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Look, I feel like if people haven't heard about this film, I could maybe get the rights to it and re-release it in the West.
The Adventures of Floppy Sword.
The Adventures of Floppy Sword.
I think a floppy sword, it seems like a very much a Mel Brooks kind of idea, I reckon.
I think it's time for new blood.
It's getting Mel Brooks in here.
Mel's out, okay? How about I make it?
I'm starting a new show on TV for Netflix. It's going to be a cutting-edge comedy
for
the young generation.
Floppy sword.
Get Mel Brooks in here.
Ah, God damn it. Anyway, I won't use as many racial slurs as Mel Brooks does.
Yeah.
Oh, don't make promises you can't.
I mean, it's bad enough that it's racial, but do you have to slur? At least have some diction.
That's
enunciate.
True. Enunciate.
Racist
Mel.
Clarity.
It's a racial, it's a clear racial word. Anyway, Beck looks really uncomfortable. It's because this could ruin her celebrity.
Oh, that's true. She's got a lot more to lose than us.
Yeah.
All my followers.
Yeah.
And my likes.
And
that's probably it.
Well,
subscribers?
Do you think that, like, there could be some kind of a tribunal? You know how, like, in sporting matches, like, you can be stripped of your title or, you know, you could lose your medals or you could get points taken off for, like, some sort of breach of the rules even long after the game is finished. Should there be some kind of social media tribunal that can go through and, like, deduct likes from certain things and, you know, retract retweets?
Force blocks.
You know?
Oh, what if? Because then someone could just be banished to never having retweets again or something.
Yeah, or maybe just a suspension of like 2 years, no retweets or something like that.
I think this is a great idea. Mm. I'm kind of sad it hasn't happened yet. It feels like something the internet's a horrible place. It has thought of all terrible ideas. So it's strange that it hasn't already come up.
This is perfect for Beck's show, Internet Hate Machine, the podcast, where you talk about things on the internet.
Do you plug in the middle?
Well, hey, we plug sometimes first thing.
If I see a bloody plug hole, I am going
to... You're going to put something in it.
Yeah.
Plug.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Thank you,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Andy? Sometimes the song, the opening song, could be Internet Hate Machine. Could be Internet Hate Machine, Internet Hate Machine, Internet
Hate
Machine,
Internet Hate Machine
with celebrity Beck Bertrand.
Well, now I'm taking that song. I'm real sorry.
Yeah, so I like the tribunal idea. It could be, it's like a penalty box, but it's like the penalty void. So you go into the penalty void where basically everything you type, nobody sees. And you're not sure. You're not sure if anybody sees it, but you know that you're definitely not getting any retweets.
But what kinds of things are these issued for? So, like, I mean, it's a bit grim, but obviously, those people who pretend to have cancer or something so that they can sell you their weight loss journey or whatever. You know, they would have got a lot of, you know, impressions, a lot of Instagram likes and views and plays and that sort of thing. Like, I think the tribunal should be able to deduct a certain number of those or, you know, maybe strike them all.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously the clear punishment for that would be to get cancer.
You know? Oh, that's clear.
I mean, that just feels like that's what that should be. But obviously.
I don't know if the tribunal has the power.
The internet. Okay, yeah.
To give... You know, unless, of course, the crime is committed by a Tasmanian devil, in which case they have their communicable facial tumours.
What if you are sentenced to become a Tasmanian devil and then, like, maybe there's another layer?
Once again, I've got a fear that is outside the purview of the tribunal.
I think it could happen.
Okay. So much abuse is already occurring within the tribunal once these people have been given power. They're already overreaching.
I mean, I'll tell you what, this facial tumour has been really good for the profile and the amount of money that is put into trying to save the Tasmanian devil. If it turns out that they have been faking it in order to, you know, sell a book, then, I mean, that is...
Absolutely.
You know, think of all the money they've got out of it.
Is that why Tasmanian... You know, Taz the Tasmanian devil?
Yeah, Tassie devil, yeah.
Is he just a shill? Like, is he? Is this all just a game to him?
Is that also why he has so much trouble talking?
And he spins around so much, he's real dizzy.
Yeah, it's like that's the physical manifestation of the effects of the mouth tumors that they've been getting. Like that, and he spins around, and
well, that's
in many ways they predicted it. They predicted that. You know, with that character, obviously that came in before the mouth tumors.
Or did he predict it, or did he make it happen? It was because of him that all the Tasmanian devils were like, "Oh, we got to fit into this popularity spiral," and they were like, "Let's get me facial tumored up."
Or it was the character that inspired a biologist to give Tasmanian devils facial tumors.
Well, they have a lot to answer for, don't they?
So it was like one conspiracy that led to this new conspiracy where, well, no, they actually do have facial tumors, I guess, in this conspiracy. Okay, wait. Look. Okay, so first of all, we got to go back. We talking about the tribunal?
Yes, I think that's a sketch.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I think the internet tribunal, you know, and I think that, you know, ultimately the more petty the transgressions that have been committed, you know, the better it is for us.
Yeah, reposted a thing on Facebook from Reddit and didn't say where it was from.
I mean that's maybe even a bit too realistic.
Dang.
To be funny.
No.
Beck,
no.
Best comedy comes from realism, and so it becomes even more funny, Beck. So well done to you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, but yeah, but also it's great. Sorry, I just kind of
you zoned out, Alice. Yeah, didn't where you? Were you?
No, I know, but I don't know why I zoned out and chose to speak. that was probably a decision I made while I was zoned out.
Yeah.
No, I was just gonna think, because I think what's great about this tribunal is that what you're really depriving people of is sort of endorphins. You know, you're going, all right, you're not allowed to. You're not gonna get these likes that you normally get and that you normally check for. To get that little rush of endorphins. So every time you click on the thing, on the little button for notifications, there'll be nothing there.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, okay. Well, nothing's going on today, I guess. Well, you shouldn't have reposted that fucking Reddit thing without giving credit to the creator.
Oh, do you think, though, when the tribunal acts and doesn't say when it acts? Like, it's a secret tribunal that just revokes rights without saying anything. It's just like, now you don't have a...
Could be.
...thing.
What if it's... that we administer like some sort of a chemical that stops your ability to feel joy.
I mean, that's what the internet is anyway. Am I right, ladies?
I've just realized that Facebook already has created a thing like this, where it's like if you post an outside link, then it doesn't show your thing to very many people. And so then you don't get very many likes. So you're like, all right, well, I guess I'll just won't even bother posting outside links. So you are kind of like being programmed in that way.
Being punished.
Yeah. Being punished for trying to share the wrong thing.
For going outside the walls of the empire.
Yeah. Oh, they don't like that.
We don't trade with foreign nations. It's like Japan in the 1800s.
It's exactly like Japan in the 1800s.
Facebook is Japan. Japan.
I don't know anything about Japan in the 1800s.
You just say
exactly,
it a bunch
Alistair. That's because they had a blockade and they wouldn't let anyone in or out.
A blockade?
Yeah.
Is it blockade?
Blockade. Okay.
Sorry.
Great. It sounds a bit like Powerade. Blockade.
Powerade.
Blockade is like a new energy drink, right?
Yep.
That works by stopping you from using any energy. Stops you from moving so that you can keep all your energy in your body.
Or,
yes?
It's a brick. It's a brick of matter that you eat, right? And you eat it, and then it allows you to not do anything.
Yes.
I call it cheese.
Oh, I was going to say KFC. Yeah.
Is it a block? Right. You know, you get your blocks at KFC. Or
I think that's
a spray. It's a spray, block. A blockade spray, and you spray it on trolls, and then they go. They just disappear. They become
they go invisible. Blah, 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 blah.
I think a fast food chain that was called like Blockade.
The Block. Right,
the Block.
Oh my God.
Is like all their foods are like say it's like a Big Mac burger, their equivalent of that. It's been just totally blended and processed and then like congealed into a little rectangular sort of basically a brick.
I shit you not.
Good.
I have a tweet drafted on my computer that just says, fuck all this circular food. Where's my square food? Nothing fits, like nothing stacks in my pantry.
Yes.
Why aren't we doing square food more? I had a Turkish delight the other day. Not only was it delicious, but it stacks. So you can have,
it was
you can
very
fit
stackable.
It's stackable. You can fit it into a space. All of our food things are all square. A fridge is a rectangle.
Our lunchboxes.
Lunchboxes. Nothing. Why are we...
Our anuses.
Anuses.
A rectangular.
Yes.
Esophagus.
It's all rectangles. Mm. Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Absolutely.
Trying to fit these
the
circular
foods into a square
peg. The
only people who are on this train
peg.
Are the bloody polenta chip people, and they're working with a shit food to begin with. But what if some of the people who've got something that's actually appealing could get on board, start making us some bloody bouillon of...
Square banana.
Yeah.
That's appealing.
Yeah.
Real sorry.
That's appealing.
I'm sorry.
I am very much into that idea. So because first of all, pantry is like, it's like really complicated Tetris because of the roundness of things. And also some things are just bags. Some things are bags. These are sort of, without even, they're unpointy polygons. They're sort of
unpointy polygons.
Unpointy.
I don't know, but the corners would be good.
Corners would be good.
Like, I.
You're right. Oh yeah. No, you're right. I'm on board now.
Cornetto's the best part is the end pointiness.
Sure, but so, couldn't it be a triangular or a square based pyramid so that you could probably stack them. Like into rows like that. Like if you just put a row of them like that and you put one down there. I mean, you can't really see it when I say it like this.
I think you're with the circle people. You're making this overly complex.
No,
all
no,
rectangles
no, no.
all the time.
Yeah.
Rectangle. Oblong.
Well, I think you're right. I think, you know, sorry, we're going to have to get rid of the cornetto. All hail
no,
the
no,
Eskimo
no.
pie.
No, no, listen to me. The cornetto instead is shaped like a right angle triangle, but like prism.
Yes.
So it's got a hypotenuse.
Yes.
Like that, right? And so that the other opposing one, when you put it on top of it, it creates a rectangle.
And then you have
okay, that's prism. Great.
Wait, so you have to buy two cornettos at once too? You have
well,
to always
you,
have
if
two.
If you want to stack them.
If you want to stack them, you're going to have to buy more than one.
That's the best.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so then they come in a box. Right, and so they'll slide in sideways. And so they'll
by the
be
way,
stacked.
We're now calling them cornerettos.
Cornerettos, yeah,
and it's all corner.
We're going to be able to use some of the sort of new old El Paso shell technology that they've found ways of making shells that are different shapes other than curved. Like
yeah,
that.
I hope that comes out of patent pretty soon because that's going to be pretty crucial
yeah,
to our
yeah.
whole scheme we got going.
Well, we might be able to sort of, you know, get
reverse
around the patent
engineer
by
it.
Saying that we're doing it with a waffle instead
Could we
of
just
a
work
tortilla.
With them?
Eh?
Let's work with the old El Paso people. They're already miles ahead in
absolutely, you're right.
In pointed
in pointed today. Shell technology.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, what about a Mexican ice cream? All right. Instead of ice cream, it's sour cream, but frozen. And instead of chocolate on top, beans.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And the
and instead of enjoyment,
yeah,
dissatisfaction.
<it's> dissatisfaction. Yeah.
Oh. yeah.
There must already be an ice cream taco, right? That must be a.
I feel like I've eaten it. But I've eaten so many
I feel
things.
Like you've eaten it as well, Beck.
I've eaten so many things, I've forgotten. It's probably something terrible.
Okay, I'm going to name a food. You tell me whether you've eaten
it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a scour.
That's an interesting one to start with. Yes.
Like, have you eaten any, food version of a scour or just a scour?
Haven't we all just, they get in your dish.
Isn't that like a hash brown?
They're already in there.
Hash brown?
A hash brown with
it's scour for the soul.
With sort of like a pesto thing over the top would essentially you could call that the scour.
Yeah,
guys, still, we're getting off the rails here.
How
did that happen?
I'm not sure. Wait, where were we? Okay, we were talking about stackable foods, and then before that, we're talking about it's the fast food place that makes a brick.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. Yeah. Like right, and it's like it's instead of like advertising their different like. KFC has like their butter popcorn. I don't know. I've never been.
Butter popcorn.
Popcorn chicken. Right?
Okay,
or their like mashed whatever. Oh. Right? It's all just like different sized cubes.
KFC is the Beatles of fast food places.
But like all their advertising is like the 2.5 inch by 3 centimeter. Yeah. Try the new 4 by 1.25 feet.
Hang on, I don't want just
the 2x4.
What if 2x4?
Yeah, if it's not bricks, what if it's just large planks? Because that's how I want it. I don't think a brick is enough. I reckon a big plank, like a 2x4 sized.
Well, it's just like a unit of food, right? That comes out of a thing.
I like
right,
it.
And you just name a length, right? And you're looking up at the board above the thing there, and it's got all the different lengths that you can have.
Or does it have like? Is there a ruler that when you come in, it's like the things on
You've
rides
be
that's
this
like
high.
This high, but it's just got different lengths so that you know if you can fit it in your car? Because I feel like that's the big part.
You fit it in your car,
or
not your stomach.
No, but you could keep the boot open, have it going out the back. Put a little. Yeah. They give you a little red flag to put on the end.
Yeah.
Like that, and it says KFC on it or whatever. So,
great.
So that's great. Another bit of a place where they can advertise. So yeah, it kind of has that ordering a length like you get from Subway, but you can order any length you want because it comes out of a tube.
And that's the only distinguishing feature between their different offerings is the length.
Well, and also they don't.
It's all just the same.
They don't separate
substance.
The foods. Yeah, they don't separate the foods.
No,
like in that
they
you know,
combine
it,
the foods.
Yeah, it might be chicken. So it kind of removes some of the need to chew.
And choose.
So, you think it's just one product?
It's just one thing.
And I think their slogan could be, "It goes in like it comes out," like that. And I guess you could have the option of.
Well, I guess that's In-N-Out Burger could.
it's really a shame that In-N-Out's already taken.
But what about just? I like the idea of it just being called. Bricks with an exclamation mark.
I like that a lot too. Yeah, bricks.
What about square peg in a round hole?
Look, that's good. There's what's good about that is that you get to think about your holes.
Yes, and think, are they round? I guess so. Yeah.
Well, actually, is it round or is it kind of like a squinting eye?
Now, which hole are we talking about? Yeah.
I'm referring to your throat hole. Your throttle.
Yeah. I reckon I'm for this square peg round hole. If you can also like one of the extra fun things you get with the meal is a mallet that you can use to just slowly mallet
the food into good. Your mouth. Yeah. Yeah, is it like 3D glasses that they kind of give you a disposable mallet? Like, sort of like plastic forks and knives.
Yeah.
the only utensil that they have are these disposable mallets to hammer it down your throat hole.
And what does it feel like to the touch? Is it kind of greasy or does it feel fine?
Like, I hope it's kind of greasy. I think it must slide in some way. Maybe there's also like a spray. Maybe there's like a little squirty bottle on each table so you can squirt it.
Yeah, or like a little ketchup sachet of like kind of it's like a KY jelly, but like a food version so that you can help ease it down with the mallet. You kind of got to lube up the end of the brick.
And then I guess there also needs to be some kind of a plunger stick, right? Because like once you've got the end of it in your mouth, it's hard to keep hammering it down.
Oh,
so you need to have, like, on everybody gets a mallet, a squirty tube of, like, lubricating tomato sauce, and,
well,
like...
Well, it's not tomato sauce. It is just a clear, like, gelatinous fluid. Sure.
Some sort of Mountain Dew-based... Like, maybe that's the great. Base of it?
Yeah, especially if it's okay. For the, yeah. The dessert brick.
Your
yeah.
Soft, your soft, it's your soft drink. Because people have a soft drink with it. Well, now that just comes as like a pre-mixed, yeah. Lubricating, flavored jelly.
Cool.
Yeah. Right? But then you also need a thing that's like a piece of dowel with like a bit of wadding on the end so that you can use that to hammer down the last of it
what
once
if it's
past
what if lips. It's not the wadding? What if it's those weird rolls that you get? At KFC with your two-piece feed that always just a bit too hard. Oh. Like, I feel like that would be real good for...
Like a little bread roll.
Like a little bread roll to sort of just end it.
Like a little edible mallet.
Yeah, like a little edible mallet. That's nice.
I think this place is... Well, it's the stuff of nightmares.
First of all, it's a new eating experience.
Yeah. Absolutely. And people are looking for that.
Yeah.
Right?
The whole market at the beginning will just be people going, that's crazy enough that I'm going to want to try at least once.
Mm. Yes.
But people will
and
get
And then
addicted.
If they survive the first visit, they could very well bring their friends.
Obviously, occasionally somebody will mallet the brick into the wrong hole, straight into their ear hole. All right, that's going to happen.
Mallet the brick.
All right, that's going to happen at the beginning as people get used to this new eating way.
Well, do we
need you really
got to
open up your throat because we're not tapering off these bricks.
We're not tapering that.
We're not tapering it off, you got to start swallowing.
Does each table need a staff member who can guide them? Is this your first time malleting a brick with us? Right, and then they can guide them through the process just so that we don't have quite as many deaths.
You know those chefs that they cook at your table and they do all like the funny weird...
Yeah,
things,
yeah, teppanyaki, teriyaki.
Teppanyaki, yeah. I reckon like that, but with the mallet, like maybe they can, like there are supervised tables where he's doing like fun and then just like knocking all your friends.
He's drumming on everybody's head whilst next to him is this huge grinder that he's pouring like offal and sort of potato and things like that. And using the opposite end of the mallet because that's what the chef uses and that's what he sort of pushes it into
Taps
the grinder.
It all down into the grinder.
Yeah, into the grinder.
Meanwhile, the mariachi band's cutting their hair. I mean, this is...
Yeah, and he's also being like the percussion on people's head, which is really distracting them from the sound of the snipping.
Nice. And their own screams.
Look, I think it's perfect. I think it's the perfect place. Great. Well, look, we need to read through our sketch ideas. We have a fair few. Some of them are not fully fledged sketch ideas, but but we're mostly there.
Well, we've created several franchises.
There's
restaurants today.
A lot
and
of
I
franchises.
Think that's
and
it's a good day when we come up with a couple of franchises.
I think it's important to come up with a few new businesses every time because industries are dying because of automation.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, any industry now that ties ropes around people's hands and ties it to the other end to an automated vehicle that is taking a lot of jobs away. So anyway, here's the sketch ideas that we have. This is that the originators of the secret were the Beatles, and when they first created their original vision board, which was the cover of Sgt. Pepper's album, but they made that years before, and they also possibly created the. They drew Jimi Hendrix and also created his career. He was looking to be work in IT at the time.
Wow!
Yeah.
In many ways, they created modern music.
They did.
By conjuring into existence all those people on that album. Yeah.
And Aldous Huxley. They also created Aldous Huxley, therefore also creating Brave New World, and therefore they created a lot of HSC exams.
Aldous
questions.
Huxley, Aldous Huxley, it sounds like it's a man's name, but it also sounds like it could be a computing company from the 80s.
Absolutely.
I'm too young. I don't know what we're talking about.
The 80s were a period of time.
Was there Americanization there?
Well, we had a lot of it, and we were very unhappy.
But he was British, I believe. Right?
Yeah. But did they also create scrapbooking?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Yeah. Look, while we're here...
I don't
want
to add another idea. I'm very sorry.
Okay, then we've got someone trying to get people to look into the into the background of the Beatles. So it's just we're in some universe where people love the Beatles, but nobody knows anything about the Beatles, and it's kind of like a Searching for Sugar Man type situation. I mean, that's a great way to do
and
it.
And they're able to actually track down Paul McCartney at the moment. It turns out he's playing arenas all over the world. It's amazing.
This is a really fun it's a mockumentary, but
where is he now?
Yeah.
Sadly, we were saddened to discover that John Lennon actually died.
Died in the 80s, yeah. And we were saddened to discover that Ringo had.
When a fan, shocked to discover that, or to see John Lennon in real life, reacted out of sheer panic and shot him to death in the street.
Didn't he say, "You're not John Lennon, I am"?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So, nobody knew anything about John Lennon.
Some
to
people
the point
thought
where
they were John Lennon.
He didn't have enough information.
Yeah.
If only we'd been more informed, John Lennon would still be alive.
This is genuinely a really great idea for a mockumentary. Searching for Beatles Man.
Yeah. We thought it was all one man.
That's how little we knew.
Forget the fifth Beatle. We didn't know there was a second Beatle. Paul McCartney, who many have called the second Beatle.
Look, this is great. Alien civilization with bad entertainment. We send them but they're also super empathetic. That's why their entertainment is so bad to us, because they see a man walking across a room, and to them they're just like, I am there. I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, like the chicken crossing the road over there is not. That is not an anti joke.
No,
it is a goddamn epic.
Yeah, but then it's so when they watch our stuff, it's like uncut heroin.
Yeah,
they just
can't believe the emotion and things like that. And so when we send them, it turns them into couch potatoes. The whole the society kind of crumbles a little bit because they become a welfare state. Because they're so empathetic, they care about everybody. Mm. It's all universal basic income. Mm. That's they have it. Everybody's a billionaire there.
And now our tax
dollars. You made the end of this sounds real good.
Yeah,
can I get really in on this?
Yeah, we're all going to try to move there, but the entertainment is not great. Nah. It's all home improvement.
Oh, you have to decide whether you will sacrifice your eyeballs to home improvement for the rest of your life, but everything else is going to be okay.
You don't have to work, but all that's on TV is Home Improvement.
I've only ever seen one episode of Home Improvement, and I quite liked it.
Yeah. Oh, look, it can be fun. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, what a heartthrob.
I feel like he left I don't think he's in all the seasons. Well, Pamela Anderson got her start on Home Improvement. So we get
really?
To see.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Home Improvement predated Baywatch?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're shitting me.
You know this line? Everybody know what time it is? Tool time. That's right. Welcome your host, Tilm the Tool Man Taylor. That would have been Pam Ann.
Pam Ann?
She said that?
Yeah. She was like the introducer of the show.
Oh, wow. I know I introduced this idea, but I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't have that.
Mate.
I don't know enough about Pamela Anderson to be here.
Look, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure it's true, but because it's coming out of the mouth of a celebrity, I believe it. All right. That alien civilization is called Culture War of the Worlds.
Yep.
Right,
then we
thank
got,
you.
And then we've got choir shop barbers, which are people who are they're a group of singers, but they go out in public and cut people's hair.
Yeah. Right.
Wearing funny candy striped suits. Then we've kind of got the people who are like either violinists at your table or rose for the lady kind of women who go around and cut your hair at restaurants. Or mariachi band style, they do it while you don't even. They start without you asking you, and then that you got to pay for them just to even it up.
I think this is a real fertile area I think there could be so many different versions of that.
For some reason,
I
pictured
people. The higher
washer
the higher
and dryer
level
for the lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like they come and they start giving you financial advice or like whatever it is. Like you just have endless.
Is it just free? Like you know how sometimes you come in and there's like a free thing of breadsticks. Is it like that? So you get it for free?
Well, no. But then they guilt you into it, like the mariachis. Like they'll play, but so then they expect you to pay them at the end.
Right.
Yeah, no, I see it more like the roses, which is like you get a really overpriced rose, but you're kind of guilted into doing it because it seems like a nice thing to do on a date. You know, so it's like Chevrolet for the lady, and you go, "All right, I'll buy you a Chevrolet." It's car salesmen do it, but they go around with a basket full of car keys, pulling a big Chevrolet behind them, like that. And you go,
"Oh no, that guy, the Chevrolet salesman's coming down. Don't make eye contact with him. Don't.
He's moving.
He's
between
dragging
the table.
It through the restaurant. Tables are being pushed out of the way."
Then we have triple-edged swords, and obviously not everybody's into that as I am, but what I've got in brackets, and I've also got knife knee in there.
I think the knife knee.
yeah.
Is that we've got, in brackets, I've got new sword technology. This could be, look, we often do boardrooms of people coming up with new sword technology. Yeah. I just thought, what if it's, you know, it's set in the modern day, but they're trying to come up with new medieval technology.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess like they're always trying to, because there's some classic things like the yo-yo, right? Which they're always trying to relaunch the yo-yo because they want to get a yo-yo craze going in schools. So they'll put lights in the yo-yo or whatever. You know, if they could just get swords back in.
Yeah.
You know, they're due a comeback.
Due.
Swords in the schools.
Absolutely. Swords in schools. But also, there's a lot of medieval films that come out.
Yeah.
And people are always trying to revolutionize those by making them more exciting. And so somebody who has a rigid, thin sword that is like a triple or infinite edge sword, I guess if it's a circle that is just very thin, like a piano wire,
yes,
like that, because a circle doesn't have any edges or tangents or anything like that, it would be an infinite edge sword.
But also,
which sounds great. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say that Elon Musk, as we were discussing with Knife Knee,
yeah,
will eventually, he's either going to get us out of this matrix or let us, you know, escape through time. So I think it's important to be prepared for when we can go back to medieval times and really fuck them up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think Knife Knee is the way to go.
Knife Knee, as in like the haircut, the haircutting automated thing, or
both.
a bending sword.
Bring back the haircutting automated thing to medieval times so that it's always existed then.
That's great.
And then maybe we can develop it further.
Great.
Yeah.
Like if you implant this idea back in medieval times, then eventually it will become something that makes
Imagine
sense.
Imagine how advanced that technology would be now of pulling people through legs and having their hair cut. Maybe other things could be achieved. Teeth brushing.
While we're doing it, let's send the Beatles back to the 1840s and see where music would have got to by now.
Yes. Sorry, I got too excited. all right.
That's an exciting idea.
We got the Internet Tribunal, which, you know, there could be many tribunals for each sort of area of the Internet. There could be a Facebook tribunal, a Twitter tribunal, things like that. Maybe at some point somebody says, you're out of your goddamn, what's that thing you say for cops when they're
jurisdiction?
You're out of your jurisdiction, tribunal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if they try to sort of, you know, get involved in a Yahoo Answers thing or something. Get out of here, judge. People are really mean to the judges. But I guess people are mean to everybody on the internet. So
and
that's
then
why
you
we
get
need
banished
these
to MySpace.
Oh, no. No.
Take him away.
I think that's just a nice place with music now. It'd just be like,
yeah, Andy,
get banished to just, oh, this
is
a nice tune.
You're irrelevant.
Andy. No. You're irrelevant, but you get to listen to nice music. Yeah, so that's another world. That's another world you could go to. And then we have the malleting a brick fast food chain, which is one of the greatest ideas we've ever come up with, honestly.
Internet hate machine with celebrity Beck Petraeus.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Beck, where can people find you? I hear you have a presence online.
Many presences.
You can hear me on Internet Hate Machine with Chris Kennett, where we talk about the internet.
That is a podcast.
It's a podcast. You can also hear me on Friendship Mates with Jack Drews.
That is a podcast?
That is a podcast.
That is great.
I wish I could keep doing
this. You've got another podcast, don't you?
It's an advice podcast,
yes,
isn't it, Friendship
it is.
Mates?
We helped you out last time.
I've got to listen.
You've got to listen so that you have some help. And then we also have a YouTube show called Finding the Point, where we find the point of different video games. Like the Tony Hawk, where we discovered he deserved death.
See? See, that is important.
And does he seek death or does he just deserve
it? Nah, he just deserves it. No one's seeking. Nah, he just
Well,
he
looks
it.
Like he is seeking it a little bit.
Well, he's certainly taunting it.
Yeah. He's not wearing a helmet.
That is definitely the starting point.
That is
he's
the starting
a real
point.
Death tease.
But thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You are at Beckness on Twitter?
Yes.
And at Beckness on Instagram?
No.
Oh, no, sorry.
That's some woman in America who stole my handle.
B-E-C-N-E-S-S.
Yes.
All right. She's an internet celebrity.
And I'm Stupid Old Andy. Alistair is?
At Alistair TB.
We are Two in Tank. Planet Broadcasting is the network that we are a part of.
Yep.
And we love you.
Aww.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.